This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, along with Kirby Ferries. And because of the impeachment hearings, this show is airing live on WRKF a bit later at 7 p.m. So those of you listening tonight, we welcome you. If you haven't been with us in the mornings, we're here tonight, and we're glad to be on the air shortly before the opening of voting. As we look at tomorrow, it should be a very close race between Eddie Rasponi and John Bel Edwards, and the closest governor's election is in the offing in 40 years in Louisiana. And Foster Campbell, veteran public service commissioner, elected to the PSC in 2002 after serving about 27 years in the Louisiana Senate. And Scott Wilfong, the now veteran political consultant. He started so early in his career that he is a veteran at the age of 43.
43.
There you go.
I've been doing your show for 20 years. How about that?
Okay, and so is Foster Campbell. Let's go to David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning and good evening. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Wolfall, you're entitled to your opinion, but not your facts. You said when you cut taxes, you have a better economy. I'd like to direct your attention to a November 4th article in the Hill newspaper. Two-thirds of the American people feel they are not better off under President Trump. Furthermore, Drudge had a column where 70% of the American people are struggling in the Trump economy. The deficit compared to a year ago in last October has gone up 34%. We have a meager 1.8% growth. That is not a great economy. Under President Clinton, when he raised taxes, we had as much as 7% and 8% growth in the economy.
All right. Now, David's making the case that the economy is not as rosy as the president says. And, of course, getting to the state race, John Bel Edwards is saying we have a great economy, and Eddie Rasponi is saying we can do better and that we should fire the coach. Scott, who's right?
Well, to respond to that, I just pulled up my E-Trade account. It looks like the market's about to hit 28,000, NASDAQ at 8,500, and S&P at 31. One of the most unbiased measures of the state of the nation is the markets. They don't care Republican or Democrat.
But Bill Clinton, the market went up 229% in 8 years.
And you could argue that the economy was much better than others would say. So I think that that's an unbiased opinion. When you look at the markets and you look at unemployment rates, which is at record lows, African-American unemployment rate lowest of all time, it's just a political phrase if you're trying to say things are bad. No, they're not that bad.
Okay. Now, Foster, it's at almost at 28,000. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me say something. Why don't you look at the Dow Jones when George Bush left and then when Obama left? That's a bigger rise than it is from Obama through Treen. Mm. I mean, through Trump.
Well, yeah, it would have
Dow
to
Jones,
be.
Dow Jones, it is. Obama took over when Bush left. Look at the Dow Jones then. Look at when he left office. That's a bigger gap than it is from Obama to Trump.
Well, that's true, but for most of Bush's presidency, it was the last 4 months of Bush's presidency, you had the Great Recession where the market lost, 40% of its value in three weeks or something?
Who caused it?
We can argue about that. I'm just saying at the very end of Bush's presidency was when the market dipped so low, and it did return under Obama. And, and that's why I'm saying it's a gotcha argument, but I'm saying the markets don't care if it's Republican or Democrat.
The three presidents who have performed best with the Dow in order are Bill Clinton, Franklin Roosevelt, and Barack Obama, and then fourth is Ronald Reagan. And the three that performed worst are George Bush and Richard Nixon and Herbert Hoover. So there you go.
I think it's a little bit like saying the coach of the Cleveland Browns is fantastic because now they're winning five games instead of none. I mean, what are you starting from?
Well, Bush had a surplus when he took office, and he left with the biggest deficit in American history. And the Dow in his 8 years actually lost ground. Mm-hmm. It actually went down. But the Dow should always be at an all-time high because it should always be going up. Whoever the president should have a Dow and Jones Industrial Average at an all-time high, and that's where we are as it approaches 28,000 points. And Foster Campbell.
Let me say something. I don't know that gentleman I'm talking to on the other end, but he's He's very civil, and I appreciate your civility. I like to talk to people that can talk without going crazy. And but he brought up football about the Cleveland Browns. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I am. My dear friend, one of my best friends, Johnny Garlington from Jonesboro, Louisiana, played middle linebacker for Cleveland for 12 years.
Wow.
And he was an All-American at LSU, and he drowned as a wildlife agent doing his job. But anyway, he was a great friend of mine. We were next-door neighbors. And beside the Saints, I pull for the Cleveland Browns. But that you're talking about football, it's a good comparison here. You know, everybody worried about Coach O. They said, oh, I don't know if he can do it. We're going to put him on trial, blah, 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 blah. But he was a football coach, and we gave him a chance. That's sort of a good comparison about this governor's race. We got a guy that's in there now that's done a good job, pulled us out of a hole. Do we want to switch and go back to the Curly Holman days of LSU? I remember Curly Holman. It went to the bottom. But we got a coach now that's winning. You think anybody in Louisiana would want to run this coach off we got down south?
All right. That's the cruelest cut of all. Say that Eddie Rasponi's another Curly Holman.
Or a Bum Phillips.
16 wins in 4 years for Hudson Curly Holman. What would a Rasponi administration look like?
Well, it would be largely supported by the folks with the Pelican Institute, which are some good folks over there. But
Rasponi, but they were for criminal justice reform.
They were,
and
but,
he is not.
But he's brought a lot of those folks in, and I like those guys. He would outsource a lot of stuff. He would there would be some similarities to the Jindal administration. I think that clearly Lane Grigsby, one of the biggest political donors in the state, would have a lot of influence. And I believe the first thing you would see would be an all out push. I think it's no secret for the Constitutional Convention. I think they would try to get that vote through and called in this first session before the legislators really developed any power of their own. And then who knows? You know, I mean, I heard Eddie Rasponi at an event say that he would be involved in the delegate selection process. Now, you know, I don't know how that would work if he were the governor, if he could legally be involved in, say, the election of the delegates. But that would consume 2020, I believe. That would be the first thing you would see. And then, you know, however long it takes. I know Foster was around for in politics for the convention in 75. I don't think that's a short process. So if Rasponi were elected, I think that would be the overarching theme is the Constitutional Convention for over half of his first term.
Foster Campbell, does that sound like a reasonable approach to government Scott just described?
No, because I'll tell you, if you have a Constitutional Convention, I'll tell you who will run the Constitutional Convention. Lobby will come up with the issues, and it'll be all for big business. And you know, you'll never have an argument about anything about taxing oil and gas, because the oil and gas people, Mr. Rasponi's already talking about, they're killing oil and gas. Nobody's killing oil and gas now. Mr. Rasponi works for the oil and gas companies. He would never touch one of those guys, even the damage they've done to our coast. They don't pay any taxes. We're a poor state with all the natural resources. It's a sickening statistic. How can Louisiana be poor with all the oil and gas?
But Foster Campbell, how can John Bel Edwards get any of these things done with a supermajority of Republicans in the legislature?
Well, he's going to have to. I would hope that he would come forward with the oil and gas processing tax and give the people a choice. If, you know, the people would have to vote on it. He doesn't know the oil and gas people anything now. They're out to beat him because he had the audacity to think they ought to fix the coast. He was so bold to say, maybe y'all ought to fix what you've torn up, and they're against him because they don't want to do that. But John Bell needs to make some bold moves. And one of the bold moves was to talk about another tax that's possible and getting rid of the income tax. You want to do something good for Louisiana, get rid of the state income tax like Florida, like Texas, like Tennessee, like Wyoming. You want people to come back to our state, get rid of the state income tax.
I like that. That was a Bobby Jindal idea, and I supported that when Jindal was in office.
But you got to have revenue to offset that, and Foster Campbell says, let's go after the oil companies. You don't like that, do you?
more to come.
Okay. We'll be back with more Talk Louisiana, another segment with Scott Wilfong on the right, Foster Campbell on the left. Election day is tomorrow, and we're back after this timeout.